Now, one of the things that we wanted to talk about this morning, but I'm going to try to walk it a couple different ways. I wasn't sure what to call it, because when you talk about evangelism, like, who wants to sign up for evangelism? It's like, there's nobody. It's like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I really don't want to know more about doing that. It's not my skill set. But the reality is all of us are doing that. And so that's why I actually called it community. Because you see, if we live into who we are, as God has wired us, out of that community will actually come the opportunities for the gospel to be presented. There are times and places, and actually our students, our older teens, Libby and others that went to Dare to Share when I first got here in Columbus, you know, we did some crazy things down there in trying to share the gospel. And a couple other groups that I've led in other contexts over the years, we actually went to the campus of Ohio State University and passed out tracts. That's just not my, we went to the quad and actually engaged people about, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about the gospel? You talk about really being like in their face and in our face and that. And I'm not sure we're all wired for that, but the idea of what it is we're living into as a church and trying to realize that even what we're offering here on Sunday morning, the music program, the Sunday school downstairs for the children, the Sunday school for the adults. I mean, all these things we're trying to do to create a connection point for each of you to realize that, and if you want to turn to the back of your worship notes, and I'll tell you where we're going to end up, is I want you to think about three people that you could actually invite to church. Three people that you, and don't make the assumption, well, I think they already go to church. No, that you could actually risk, and maybe it's the person that if you go to West Side for lunch or dinner, that maybe it's the waitress. Because that actually, where was I? Oh, it was funny. Last week, as I went to Lexington, I walked into the Lexington church, and I recognized this woman, and it's like, I know you. And she says, I know you, but I had no idea the context. Well, she's a waitress at the West Side, Mansfield Restaurant West Side. And she's from Alabama, I think, so maybe you know who she is. But it was just fun to sort of go, that's where we know each other. And then we sort of made fun of Walt and Candy, because she's like, yeah, Walt, it's just like, so I'm, you know, he's not here, we can't beat up on him. But she was just saying, he's sometimes so rude to me. And I'm going, yeah, I know, we all have to deal with him, I'm sorry. And can you imagine Candy? But that idea of just seeing that the messiness of our lives and realizing that outside the walls, even inside the walls, sometimes on Sunday, it's messy. It's messy, and so we just need to hang on to that. But what I want to do this morning is lean into a story that you may know, and yet I want to see if we can learn some things from that. It's out of Mark. But with that, let me pray first, and then I'll have you stand as we read the scriptures together. So, Jesus, thank you for the reality of who you are, and that the culture that does eat our strategy sometimes is one that we want to try to just lean into, so that we are a place that really does love you first, but more importantly loves others. And that out of our loving others, as we just begin to journey maybe more intentionally. And so we just pray this morning as we look at this, this story that we've heard, may it speak afresh to us about the responsibilities we have of being in relationship with you, that your holiness, that your rescuing of us for heaven, that there's a time here on earth that we still, no matter our age, young or old, that you've called us to be a part of. So this morning, as we look at your scriptures, send your Holy Spirit to just illuminate our eyes and our hearts, and may we, maybe in a new, fresh way, see with confidence what you're asking us to be. And may we also receive in that the grace that comes first to us, that yes, we're all sinners, but yes, you love us radically, and your desire is for restoration. All things. And so we just pray it now in your most precious name, and all God's people said together, amen. So would you stand, just because we're going to read the gospel and the words will be on the screen, and then just keep reading, even though there may be a little interruption, but just keep reading as you read the story and you'll follow, you'll see what I mean. So go ahead, the words will be on the screen. Let's read it together. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. And some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof. Keep reading. Go ahead and be seated. But just think about this noise. Okay, I'm thinking that the story that we just read, that it, although it was just one sentence, that if you're tearing off the roof of a house to drop your best friend through, it's not going to happen in a moment, right? And if you're Jesus, and the way we get this reading from the scriptures, it's pretty simple. It seems like he just keeps rolling with it. Now, there's so much in this story that I want us to look at, because if you think about even the conversation we had last week, and I remind you this morning, that it's tough, but you got to go through it. It's tough because it's a mess. Now, we know from the historical narrative that we've read that the story is set up. What? It is there, you know, the room is so full that there's no room for anybody. The crowd is actually outside of this house. So Jesus, we guess, is somewhere inside the house. Probably there's an open garden probably in the center of it. And that's where he's at. Maybe not. The roof is somehow there. And a roof in those ancient kinds of buildings was probably about a foot thick. And it was made of timbers and dirt and thatch and layer upon layer upon layer. And so this idea that these four men had their paralyzed friend, they got to be real creative. So again, if you look at last week's 3 points, this idea is point two of that you just got to go through it. It's just, and it's going to be a mess. And so when we think about who we are as a church, there's things that we have to go through. There's conversations we have to have. And it's part of the gospel story that we're all part of. It's part of the historical part of being the church, that there's things that are going to make some people uncomfortable, that we really have to. And really this idea of expecting a mess, it's going to be messy. People's opinions are going to, they're going to hit each other. People's attitudes are going to hit each other. People's perspectives and preferences are going to hit each other. But you see, if we actually back up just a moment, because the men and those of us that were present on Thursday, we just started the book of Mark. And so we got through the first half of chapter one. It's kind of interesting because as we looked at Mark, as a gospel, Mark is just sort of a quick read of Jesus' life. It isn't a lot of details. You know, at Christmas time, we always go to Luke because he's the doctor and he's into the details of the birth. If we want to know more about Jesus' genealogy, we go to the Gospel of Matthew. But Mark really reads like a newspaper article, like a newspaper man. And so we know that as he begins, he's actually performing miracles, he's healing the sick, and he's going to preach some sermons. And people become absolutely captivated by who he is. And so they begin to follow him. And these massive crowds begin. And so, again, I just want to pull out a little bit of this. So in Mark 2, we're told a few days later, we read, when Jesus entered in Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers, there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So let me set it up. The word gets out. And this group of friends that have this friend of theirs who's paralyzed, they decide they're going to bring that man to Jesus. These men, these friends of his had conviction. It's like, no, we know who Jesus is. We know of his story, and we know that he can heal our friend. And so we're going to begin to figure out how to get in front of the crowd. And so they get their buddy in front of him, and whatever it takes. And again, probably in those ancient Near East homes, there's actually, they're sort of rectangular like a shoebox, and on the outside is actually usually a stairwell that goes up to the roof level, because in fact, if you read the book of Leviticus, actually you could be brought charges within the religious law if you didn't have a fence around your roof, because of that's where the parties took place. Today we put fences around our pools because of the responsibility we want to have to be good neighbors, but back then, there would be a fence on the roof to be, you know, because it was a place of socialization. And so these men, again, begin to sort of whatever it took to get through the roof. And you can imagine if you're in that group down below, the dust has fallen on you, the dirt's fallen on you, the timbers are falling on you. It is just like, this is crazy. Now, it goes on to say there in verse 4, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the man on the mat that he was lying on. So again, in your mind, the crowd is so massive, so beyond the expectations of everybody. It's like, how are we going to get through this? They have no idea how long it's going to take them. They have no idea how they're really going to accomplish it, but their attitude is that we're going to go do this. And then it says that they slowly, you know, lower him down in front of Jesus. And what I want us to see here, because you got to imagine that people were pretty confused, like you were when I said, just keep reading, and I'm hitting the floor, and I did warn Robin downstairs, so that there wasn't, and with the kids, don't panic. But think about it for a moment, because I want you to see in this next verse, it's just a subtle understanding, but check this out. The next scripture here. When Jesus did what? Whose faith? The men's faith. Not the man's faith that was paralyzed, that was laying on the mat. It was the faith of his friends that Jesus saw. But that's what Jesus was captured by. And so this idea of really wrestling through, what does it mean to show grace first? It's that Jesus will honor our efforts if we're honoring him. And so even the hymns we began with, even the choir piece, you know, and you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again as a broken record, you need to be spending time with Jesus. Because if you'll spend time with him in your morning devotion or your evening devotion, whenever it works, if you will spend 10 minutes a day with him, I promise you, money back guarantee, it will transform you, and it's going to transform the life of this church. And if it transforms the life of this church, I really believe it can transform the life of our community. Because that's what the community needs. That's why the county commissioners and the city council and the foundation are all interested in this thing about investing in Mansfield. Because you see, from a Christ follower's perspective, as we understand what community really means, we have the best understanding. Not that our understanding is in an arrogant way, but no, see, like when we did the session last fall on the Reformation, to be reminded that Johann Sebastian Bach didn't see that there was secular and sacred. That he signed every piece of music, whether it was for to be used in the church or to be used in a secular setting, Sola Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. The hymn we started out with this morning. This idea that all of our lives are supposed to be about giving God the glory. But see, it can only happen if you're in a relationship with him. And I know we want to think about the doing part, but the reality is it's the being part that really that God is asking for us to be a part of. Because when life comes at you and you have to push through, when life is a mess and you have to really sort of get through the mess, literally like the crowd was in this house where Jesus was preaching, I mean, you can imagine that if you've ever been to a presidential event, I mean, I've actually organized a number of those in another era, Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush and a couple others in between, where it's a big deal, and there's advance men that come in to make sure that every aspect moves in the right kind of way. So obviously, Jesus' advance guys really sort of fell on their faces because these guys should never have gotten to the roof, and more importantly, there should never have been any dust falling on the audience because that's just like not supposed to happen. But you see, it's interesting that it was their messiness, their willingness to lean into, literally willing to make the noise of taking the instruments, whatever it was, and just driving it as hard as they could. And yeah, they're doing that over Jesus' speaking. But they knew that if they could get Jesus' attention, that this friend of theirs who was paralyzed could be healed. And it has to be the same kind of passion and the culture that we have to develop. Yes, we can talk about the things we expect people to do when they come to church. But I'm going to suggest to you, much like the video of this young man who's a church planner in Austin, is that what the culture wants from us is just the fact that we care. The fact that we're going to show up and not be judgmental and not expect them to do certain things, because that's just the way it is today. And there's so much competition that if we aren't willing to lean into that, they'll go someplace else, as they do. Places that aren't healthy for them. Places that will take them in a direction that isn't what God intends for them. So again, it's just amazing to me that Jesus saw the faith of the friends of the paralyzed man. And because of their faith and faithfulness, the man becomes healed. He didn't see it as a strange case of vandalism. Jesus saw these men of great faith. Now, one of the questions we've had and we've been trying to wrestle through is, what is the mission of Linden Road? Well, I've got on the screen here what I want us to see is really what I think is the mission of the church, but I want us to wrestle through if we think that's really our mission. We say our vision is to love God and love others. It's pretty simple. And then about a year and a half ago, we added the phrase with no limits. But is that really what we mean? Is there a place where it's like, well, okay, there is a limit. You know, the reality of how we treat each other, is there a limit to that? Well, as long as they treat me nicely, you know, and so really to think through those things. But here, look at this. The mission of the church is to bring people to the feet of Jesus, trusting that Jesus has the power to forgive sins and to heal brokenness. That should be our mission. That should be what we ought to be about every day. I would suggest that that's why we do the pots and pans. That there's this opportunity that we have by stepping off and being in relationship with people to bring them into an encounter with Jesus at his feet, just like these men did for the paralyzed man, and that out of that encounter then, they will find wholeness. They will find what the word I like to use is the word rescue. Now, back to one of the stories I keep telling you about is one of the guys that showed up last week, he showed up again this week at the jail. And it's just interesting because, and I'll call him Sam. It was interesting because he told me adamantly last week, I'm not a Christian and I want nothing to do with you faith people. And see, I'm not really there as a pastor. I'm there as just a concerned friend in the community just to talk about what it means to be a healthy guy. And it just was interesting. But he told me that over the last week, he had three people within his pod actually encourage him to read the Bible. So he's reading the book of Matthew. Now, he's like, I know I told you last week. I said, but dude, you told me last week. He says, well, I don't know, because I'm seeing how these men treat me here in the pod. And the men that say they're Christ followers, and I know we could spend some time going, well, if you love Jesus, why are you wearing the fashionable outfit? And why are you incarcerated? That's a whole other story. But the reality is they're broken. And the beauty of this kind of a mission statement is simply this, is that we want people to encounter Jesus in such a way that they know that they matter. They matter to God, and that more importantly, they matter to us. And see, that's where it gets complicated because, again, we have these expectations. And again, the conversation with my friend Sam is like, so I'm going to be out in about 3 months. You know, can I come visit? And I said, yeah, you can, absolutely. But I said, you need to understand something. You told me that you're on your sixth relapse, and the doctor told me that it's going to take 7. So how do I walk with you? He goes, yeah, I don't know. And I think that's an honest answer. But when I think about this mission statement, or I go back to the statement that we love God and love others, where do we cross the line? Where do we say, I'm not going to go any farther than that? As opposed to the men who went really far. They went to the top of the house and they punched a hole through the roof to drop their best friend in because they knew that if they could get their friend in front of Jesus, that he would be forgiven of his sins and that his brokenness would be healed. And so this is such an incredible account here. So I just want to pull out three things that I want us to see. And so you can remember them, there are three C words. There's three characteristics that these men embodied. First of all, they were committed. We're in. We're going to make this thing happen. Whatever it takes, we're going to make it happen. Yeah, the roof may fall in us because it's like, I don't know about any of you, but when you're cutting down a tree or you're doing something crazy like this, you know, I'm usually the guy, even like yesterday, I was down at the camp helping to hang a projector and a couple other things for Matt. And it's like, okay, I don't do ladders very well. And we're trying to hold and saw and screw. And it's just like, this could be really, really. But it's like, no, I told Matt we would get this thing done. And so together as a team, we did that. There's going to be obstacles. I mean, these people know that this guy is paralyzed and that they had to carry him through the crowd. But that they have to have this attitude that I'm going to just do whatever it takes. It's like being on the basketball team or being on the football team. I am going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to lean into this, and it may not be what I want, but again, if we go to this vision statement of understanding what we believe that God wants for us, then we got to do it. We got to do it. And need to be reminded too, though, it's going to be easy to be discouraged, and it's also going to be easy to feel some resistance. It's like, well, I really don't want to go. It's like, no, we really have to lean into that. We have to lean into that. So the second point is this: that they were creative, right? You have to admit, these guys, I would not have thought about cutting a hole in the roof. I was trying to get my friend to see Jesus, right? That's just like, that's crazy. But even if you go back to the video that I started with, you know, and the things that, that the community really needs, the idea of creativity is really like, okay, how do we do that even better? And there's some things that we've tried here that you tried before I got here, a hog roast and some other things. We've resourced a piece of property over on Maumee, and it still isn't really tracking. Does that mean that God can't use it? No. It's just that my question to us is, how faithfully are we praying that God will use it? You know, where's our skin in the game of engaging? And then we just need to be reminded that they have to be persistent, that we have to be persistent. They were creative in their persistence. They didn't trample on the crowd or kick down the door. No, they went to the roof and broke a hole into it. It's like, that's crazy. And if you think about the story of Paul, we could spend some time there. If Paul had stopped every time he encountered a closed door, I can tell you that half of what we call the New Testament wouldn't exist. His story was such that, and you'll remember at Christmas time, I talked to you about being in the storm. And you remember the story of Paul on the boat. The guys are tossing everything off the boat because they're afraid the boat's going to sink. They think for sure the boat's going to sink. And Paul says, nope, no, it's not going to sink. Angel showed up and told me that. Now, he went on to say, and the reason I know that is because I have to go to Caesar. I have to go stand trial before Caesar. So God said he's going to provide protection to get you all back to the safe shore. But for my story, it's going to be a little more complicated. You see, sometimes we think that, that people should just respond to the gospel in a way that when we invite them in, and it's going to take, you know, a long time. It's going to take the kinds of things that Jane Frank's doing with CASA. It's going to take the things that teachers are doing in our schools. It's just, it's relational, it's long-term, and it's just something we can't sort of just weary from and know that God's going to provide. And then the third point, the third C, is that we need to, these men were courageous and we need to be too. Tearing off the roof of a house takes a lot of courage. Interrupting Jesus in the middle of his sermon is like, that's like, who wants to do that? But you can see is they really thought, these men, that was more important. They're interrupting Jesus was more important because of what they were asking Jesus to do. And that's where the awkwardness in our culture today, because we really do live in a time that's so politically charged, such a religiously pluralistic society, Christianity really is on the ropes. And how you live your life and how you treat your neighbor is how people may determine whether or not the church, either Linden Road or even the larger church, whether or not it has any merit in our community. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather it's the presence of something greater than your fears. So these men, for example, it was the love they had for their friend. And they wanted God to see God transform him. And so if we want to see God transform our communities, we must embody the same type of love for our family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors. It's commitment, creativity, and courage. Because it's this, and this is where we'll land. It's on 2 Corinthians. Paul says this to really sort of demonstrate it. He says what? For Christ's love compels us. What compels us? Christ's love. That should compel us. That should get us out of bed in the morning. That simple thought. Now, it goes sort of a couple ways, because sometimes we get this accusing conscience that says, well, you're not doing enough. You need to show up and volunteer more. And I'm not so sure that's what we're asking. At the same time, we also use an excusing kind of understanding and think, well, somebody else is going to do it. No, we're all called to do it. We're all called to be a part of it. That evangelism, if you will, this big concept, is someone else's job. But no, Paul's very clear here. He says, this is to compel us. This is the reason why. And he goes on to say what? Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Read that a couple more times this week. To be reminded is that the reason why you need to be engaged at a level that is a little bit more than you currently are, I'm talking to myself, is because of what God's done for us. Now, here's a simple tool to give you a way for you can do that. So on the month of March is what Paul Lintern and some of us in the community are calling the March of Prayer. And so we have partnered with 31 churches. It's crazy. I can't believe we got us all to say yes, because everybody has their perspective, and it's all of us. It's kind of fun. It's a real smattering of Mansfield. Now, we're going to host on March 5th our night of prayer, but there's actually a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside, is that there's 30 other dates that I would love for at least one family, one person, to sign up to go and be a part of, to see what the church is supposed to be in the community, to realize that if we don't start praying together for God's presence, then it's not going to happen. When you read the great books that give the history of the movement of Christianity, every great movement started with prayer. Every great revival started with God's people coming to Him first to say, we don't have what it takes. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough volunteers. We don't have enough energy. At the same time, Jesus says, fine, now I can do something. When you're dependent upon me, and we need to do that based on the fact that Paul's saying, no, we need to be compelled. No, we need to be compelled, pushed. This idea that what Jesus has done for us should be sufficient to move us in that understanding. So March 5th, mark your calendar, time here together. And then actually in the community, every night in March, there's going to be an opportunity at various churches around the city. And if you're on Facebook, you can see it. It's actually called Godsfield, Mansfield. And we've got an event for the 5th, but it's just been amazing as I've put that information out there. It's been a crazy, literally thousands of interactions with people who are excited about this opportunity. Now, like everything else, it's like, how will that turn? How will that really make a difference? Well, it'll make a difference if we make a difference. It's just that simple. And it's going to require your time and your energy. And I hope that you'll lean into that, because it's this idea of really, and then the takeaway this morning that I want you to wrestle with is, who can you invite? Who are three people, even one person, that you could invite to be part of what it is that we're doing here, that God's doing through us, that you could bring like the four men did into the presence of Jesus?